This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night. Born in Kamala, Queensland, and graduating from Queensland University, Kristen Barati has won a number of awards during her career, including the National Jazz Award for Voice at the OneGrad Jazz Festival last year, and two Bell Awards for the Best Jazz Vocal Albums in 2010 and 2012. It's my pleasure to welcome to Bent Notes, Kristen Barati.
Hi there, how are you going?
Very well, thank you, Kristen. Thank you for chatting to us tonight. You were born in Kamala in North Queensland.
Yeah.
Now that sounds like a long way up.
It's about an hour south of Mackay. It's one of those towns that you, like the Bruce Highway runs just straight through it, and you know, you kind of blink and you sort of go, oh, why would anyone live here? And then you keep going.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, thank goodness.
Well, that's a very good
question.
That's a very good question, Kristen. Why would anyone live in Kamala?
Well, my parents met in Kamala. My mum was a primary school teacher at the school, and my dad is a cane farmer. And so they settled down there. And it was actually, I've got a bit of a love for, you know, smaller townships, because I had a really wonderful upbringing just in a smaller community. You know, you knew pretty much everyone. You'd have friends in every grade. Like, you pretty much just had the whole school was your friend. You know, like, you were like, hey, Brett, hi, Carrie, you know, and you were, it was a really lovely community. Yeah, it was really, really quite special. So those towns where even I will go, man, what must people, and then I go, wait a minute. I'm sure there's a reason. It's probably work-related, and it's probably an awesome time the kids are having, because you have to make your own fun and, you know, connect with people rather than, you know, or you find a hobby, you know. So, yeah.
And was it in Kamala that you found your hobby or your career?
Sort of. I definitely was always practicing music in the house. I thought I would be. My mum is a music teacher as well, and so she was teaching piano and organ from home, and I did both of those for a while. But I thought I was going to be a classical violinist, and so that's what I was aiming towards. And then I think when I was about, 13, 14, I was given a solo in the choir, and that's when I sort of felt like I could connect more the way I wanted to, closer to attaining that connection and that emotional sort of level with the voice. And I even started my degree when I went to the con. I started it like doing a dual degree because I just couldn't. Double degree, sorry, it sounds weird, in, you know, classical violin and jazz voice. And, yeah, just because I felt, you know, so torn but also so much, I felt like, you know, my poor family had spent thousands upon thousands of dollars on lessons and instruments. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go with my larynx, guys. Thanks very much. but they were cool.
Pretty bad. Did you finish both degrees?
No, I dropped my classical one.
Yeah.
After the first year, and just continued on with voice.
You saw the light.
I did.
Well, I think we're glad that you did.
Me too.
Although, no doubt, you probably would have made a pretty good classical violinist, I assume.
I was okay. I wasn't amazing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was fine, but I wasn't. You know, wow, I was just, yeah.
However, wow is probably a word that we can throw at you in terms of your singing.
I really just love love it so much. Yeah.
And it does really come across.
Blessed. That's good. That's really good.
I was fortunate enough to see you perform in the finals at Wangaratta last year, and it just was there. Coming off the stage, there was this enthusiasm from this young lady up on stage singing. It was marvellous.
Oh, hooray.
And just going back to when you sang in the choir, was that choir piece classical or was it a little bit more modern?
Well, it was Silent Night and I was given like a solo part and I thought my teacher was quite weird, you know, giving that to me. I was like, there's some really good singers in the choir and you're going to sing, you know. And I honestly didn't think of myself as a singer. Like I was always singing. You know, but I just didn't. She sort of saw something in me that I didn't really realise there was there, I think. So she gave that to me and then after that, like my parents were coming up to me with tears in their eyes. They're going, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you could sing like that. And I was like, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Can you just pull yourself together, please? You know? I don't know what anyone is talking about. Can we just go and get a quarter pounder with cheese?
Yeah,
you know? Like that's all I was thinking about back then.
You'd sung your couple of lines. It was time to go and have something to eat.
That's right. I was a boarder. I needed to be fed. I needed to go home to my own bed. I didn't want to talk about all this at the school any longer.
Oh, that's beautiful, Kristen. That's singing Silent Night.
Mm.
And as you just said, that grabbed you and said, this is for me.
Mm.
And then you went and did a double degree, classical violin and jazz voice. Where along the path did you get the jazz influence? Was it from mum or was it from elsewhere?
No, it was from elsewhere. My mum loved jazz, but we didn't have it on in the house. We had Cliff Richard. We had Linda Ronstadt. But at school, the following year, I was in the stage band and I played alto sax in that. And, my teacher said, you know, if, you know, I want to start a jazz combo. And I was like, oh, okay. Isn't jazz for old people? Like, you know, why are you talking to me? And he said, you can sing in it, but I want you to play saxophone as well. And I was like, oh, I'd rather just sing, I think. And he was like, no. You have to do them both. And so he sort of got, you know, he got me in and he started lending me some mixtapes. And I was thinking, yeah, okay, I really don't understand this music. And it's fine, but I just don't get it. Like I thought Ella Fitzgerald was amazing. Like I didn't really know how she could do that. But I think it wasn't until... And I liked the songs and the reason I really liked being in the jazz combo was because I didn't get in trouble for not singing it as written, you know. I was supposed to put my own sort of interpretation on it and I really liked that individualism and that freedom over the changes and over the form. But it wasn't until he lent me some Vince Jones CDs that I went, oh my goodness, is this jazz? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, well, if that's jazz, I love jazz. And so then I went on a Vince Jones total binge and like I ordered in all the CDs. They were getting them from all, you know, from all around the country,
really?
Like, you know, getting them in for me in you know, Canely and Shopping Town, Canely and Music. I was just getting as much Vince Jones as I could and listening to that. And then I think from listening to that and listening to the solos in that, you know, I think sort of going back then and listening to the earlier stuff and approaching it from a different sort of viewpoint, I think I was a bit closed-minded at first. I didn't realise that jazz was such a broad sort of category and I just pretty much, even though I played classical music, I really just listened to pop and R&B. So I really liked that genre and I didn't get the new feel and the new sounds. And I guess Vince Jones had more of a sound that I connected with. I mean, he's got a beautiful voice as
so
well.
He has.
But, yeah, I just, I dug what he was doing with the music, and I think from there, yeah, obviously I've gone back and I've looked at all those things that I once didn't really get, and I love it all now. Well, most of it, I think. Yeah. but yeah, it was more, sort of discovering jazz through Vince Jones and his band. And it's sort of cool that it was an Australian, you know, thing.
It says a lot about what Vince puts into his music.
Yeah, yep.
We have a track from Vince Jones.
Oh, wonderful.
Just because you've mentioned it, we're going to play it for you. This is Bent Notes. We're talking to Kristen Barati on Joy 94.9. This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au. Kristen, that was one of your, what would you call it, Vince Jones? How would you...
I guess one of my influences, my reason for... my sole reason for doing jazz voice, really. My signpost, my detour, or I don't know.
Yeah. I like some of those words. I like the signpost.
Big neon sign.
Yeah.
This way.
Were there different things that you picked up from Vince's repertoire at the time?
Yeah. I think quite heavily at the start, I think I was struck by his voice and his song choices. I really, really enjoyed, you know, the tunes that he picked. And so I think as a, you know, as a 15, 16, 17-year-old, it was sort of good in a way, like I looked up those standards and learnt them the way they were, you know, did my homework, learnt them the way that they were written, and then sort of looked at how he'd done them and tried to do my own thing. So it was good. I don't know. But sometimes I think people sing songs better, like when I'm teaching others, like I encourage them to choose songs that they really like, you know, because you will sing it so much. You have an instant connection with something rather than thinking, oh, I better do this because this is hard and it'll show people what I can do or my range or, you know, like...
That's an interesting way of looking at things. I'd never thought of that, Kristen.
Yeah, so I guess I was always sort of singing songs that I really liked, which helped. But
now,
so I think he really influenced me in that way.
You've just mentioned that you teach. You've been teaching for a number of years now.
Yes, I was lucky enough. I was teaching at the conservatorium that I first started at, and that was the regional conservatorium in Queensland. They used to fly me up there. They used to get a lot of visiting people to do about six visits a year, like you do these intensive kind of visits, and that was really great. But of course, funding was cut to that in the last couple of years, and then I was at the Australian National Uni, ANU, at the wonderful music school there
in Canberra.
In Canberra, yeah.
Right.
For I think I must have done about 4 years there, maybe five, between kiddies, having some kids.
And, yes.
And I was on maternity leave when that course and most of its staff was folded. So that was a bit, I think maybe it's me. I hope not. 'Cause now I'm at the Brisbane Conservatorium. Teaching in a teaching team with my wonderful teacher that I had. I did 1 year at Mackay Conservatorium and then I transferred to Brisbane and did, I did a year and a half at Mackay and then I had a bit of time off and then I had second year and third year at the Brisbane Con. And so I'm teaching with my old teacher.
Oh, that must be interesting.
It's so great. I have just the highest respect for her. She pretty much saved me because in terms of style and musicality and that sort of thing, I pretty much was on the right sort of track, but in my vocal health, I was really in need of a lifeline. No one had really sort of taught me what to do. Like, I'd been having some lessons and doing all that, but I got to the Brisbane Con, and she was able to really. I just worked on techniques for those couple of years and got all that sort of, you know, with a solid foundation so that I could finally start to do the things that I could hear, but my instrument was letting me down, if you know what I mean. It needed some training.
Training and exercises.
Yes.
And the training and exercises have helped you win a number of awards.
Yes.
Yeah, I see back in 2006, Montreux, and you won the National Friedman Fellowship in 2007, the two Bell Awards for two albums that you've released, the Christian Berardi Band, a self-titled, and then Christian Berardi Meets the Jazz Groove Mothership Orchestra.
Yeah.
That must have been fun, working with a big orchestra.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And terrifying all at once. It's pretty much my most feared kind of situation. I think I'm much more comfortable in a smaller setting, but I love that sound, and I do listen to, you know, a fair amount of big band stuff, like the stuff that I really love. It was pretty amazing just hearing, because each arranger I just sort of said, you know, this is my chart, and you can sort of do what you like with it. It was really amazing getting them back and seeing exactly, like, it was such a wonderful and exploratory kind of experience hearing them back, you know. I felt like really I shouldn't really take credit for really any part of it other than singing, because they sort of made them these other pieces, you know.
It was your music that you heard, but it wasn't the sound that you'd imagined?
Often not, no. I think Florian Ross's one was more like I imagined, but like Steve Newcomb's one was quite different to what I had envisaged. And Mace did this whole soul-y section. I was like, wow, that's so great, because I would never have come up with those ideas.
Collaboration seems to have been a large part of your musical life. Is that something that was difficult to get into?
Well, I guess I've never really done it in terms of, like, sitting down and working with someone else. And that's something I think I should probably stop being afraid of and start doing. But I've put myself in situations where I guess that sort of thing can happen, but at the same time, I don't know, it's more of a you do this and I'll do this, or I'll do this and you do that sort of thing.
Yes,
whereas
I know what
it'd
you mean.
Be nice to, I think, experience the one where you're both creating together. That might be, I'm pretty scared of that, but from all accounts, people, you know, good stuff comes from that sort of setting.
So you're looking forward to working with someone and to actually developing something together as opposed to having something complete and then having it arranged differently.
Yeah. Well, I think so.
Have you got anything on the horizon in that regard?
Well, I've talked a little bit with Zach Curran, the tenor saxophone player.
Yeah.
And he's written a little bit of stuff, and he's starting to do that as well. And he was like, man, you should so get into this, because he's been collaborating with Vince Jones, actually, and
Alex
Mann. So, and he was just like, man, you got to do it. He says man a lot. and also Stephen Newcomb from Brisbane, he's amazing. Pianist, but also arranger and composer, and I'd really like to do some stuff with him. I'd really like him to even produce an album or something like that. I have talked to him about that, so that's not kind of crazy. I'm telling the nation, you know.
Your top secret now. Plans.
That's right.
Well, Kristen, we've had a question come in from one of our listeners, mm-hmm. from James, and he says that he has a lot of respect for artists like Esperanza Spalding that engage in a new genre of jazz for younger audiences. Mm. What or whom do you think will be the next progressive movement in jazz?
Oh, well, I don't know. I really dig all that stuff. Like, I really enjoy listening to Gretchen Parlato and Esperanza and Robert Glasper. He's just done this crazy, cool record with a whole bunch of singers. And, like, because he's sort of been, you know, a jazz guy and also, like into hip-hop. And so he's sort of bridging that gap. I really don't know. I guess if just that sort of, you know, that real cross influences thing and people remain brave enough to put it out there and say, call it jazz. And and because they're using jazz players and jazz harmony and, you know, that's their background. And, you know, I think hopefully more of that will continue, especially the success that those people have had when they're really not just in that sort of, not straight sort of road, but that clear-cut path. It'd be really sort of exciting times, I guess.
Very much so.
There are a lot of that sort of, you know, yeah, just the cross-influences and people just being brave about, you know, putting their music out there the way they hear it.
Instead of
that's pretty cool.
Instead of fitting into something that they think someone wants.
Yeah. Or what they, you know, they think, you know, is jazz or is, I don't know, it's just sometimes you just have to go, well, that's what I hear, so and I really think that jazz is all about being yourself. It's a music where you really are encouraged to be yourself through that genre, that music. So if you're being true to that, I think people will, you know, hear it and connect with that, or not. But
as the case may be, yes.
Yeah. Now, and I think if you're honest, you know, I think people usually respond from the same place.
Exactly, which I think is part of Vince Jones's music. In this case, you're saying you've actually responded to him, and he has presented his music in such an honest, straightforward way. But such a musical, a jazzy fashion.
Yeah.
Now, you will be performing very shortly at the Stonington Jazz Festival with Michelle Nicole.
Yes, I know. We just realised the other week because she was doing the Brizzy Jazz Club, and so we were chatting and, you know, life just keeps happening and, you know, you drop kids at school and you realise you have no milk and all that sort of stuff is happening. And then I was like, oh, my goodness, I get to do a gig and then I get to listen to you do a gig while I'm at the gig. That's so great.
It's a great way of doing it.
I know, it's so rad. So I was a bit excited when I remembered that that's exactly what was happening soon. It's very good.
You've both won the National Jazz Award for voice.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to be doing anything together or is it two separate parts of the program?
Oh, I haven't even thought of that. I think it is two separate things, but that's a really great idea.
Look, I'd love to hear both of you together on one track in the middle of the program somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
That'd be great. Now, that's happening Thursday and Friday, the 16th and 17th of May, at the beautiful Malvern Town Hall. And I'm looking forward very much to seeing you perform, in fact, seeing you both of you perform. And you've got your own band coming down on that night, I hear.
Yeah, I'm so excited. My band from Sydney. I've only just moved to Brisbane, so I'm keeping all the dudes in my band from Sydney because I've just really, it's all just feels so good at the moment. So I've got Greg Coffin on piano, Tim Firth on the drums, Brendan Clark on the bass, and Carl Morgan on the guitar.
Fantastic. And you, of course, are singing.
Yes.
So you're getting out from behind the piano and just getting out there and doing what you enjoy most.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for being so generous with your time tonight. Really have appreciated your time and enjoyed speaking with you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9. Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.